In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. Make known your will to all so that by knowing it they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us, help of all Christians, help. Pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Entry number 121, December 10th, 1933, volume 33. While walking around in the works of the divine fiat, I detained myself in Eden, where the creation of man came before me, and I thought to myself, what could have been the first word Adam said when he was created by God? And my highest good Jesus, visiting me with his brief little visit, all goodness, as if he himself wanted to tell me the word, said to me, my daughter, I also feel the desire to tell you what was the first word pronounced from the lips of the first creature created by us. You should know that as soon as Adam felt life within himself, motion, reason, he saw his God before him and understood that he had formed him. He felt in himself, in all his yet fresh being, the imprint, the touch of his creating hands, and grateful, in an impetus of love, he pronounced his first word. I love you, my God, my Father, author of this life of mine. But it was not just the word per se, but the breath, the heartbeat, the drops of his blood racing in his veins, the motion, all his being. All those things together were saying as in chorus, I love you, I love you, I love you. Thus, the first lesson he learned from his creator, the first word he learned to say, the first thought to have life in his mind, the first sentiment that he formed in his heart was, I love you, I love you. He felt loved, and he loved in return. I could say that his I love you was never ending. It was so long. It became interrupted when he had the misfortune of falling into sin. Once our divinity felt wounded in hearing on the lips of man, I love you, I love you. It was the same word we had created in the organ of his voice that was saying to us, I love you. It was our love created by us in the creature telling us, I love you. How could we not be wounded? How could we not repay him with a deeper, stronger love worthy of our magnificence? As we heard him say to us, I love you, we repeated to him, I love you, but in our I love you, we made the working life of our divine will flow in all of his being. Thus, we enclosed our will in man as within a temple of ours, so that enclosed in the human circle, while it remained in us, it could be working great things and itself be the thought, the word, the feelings, the step, and the deeds of man. Our I love you could not give a thing more holy, more beautiful, more powerful than our will operating in man. Since our will alone was able to form the life of the Creator in the creature. Oh, how pleasing it was for us to see that our will held its place of actress, and this human volition, dazzled by its light, enjoyed its paradise, and by giving it full liberty, allowed it to do what was pleasing to it, by giving supremacy in everything. And the place of honor appropriate to a will so holy. You see, therefore, that the beginning of Adam's life was an act full of love of all his being toward God. What sublime lesson how the principle of love should run in all the activities of the creature. The first lesson that he received from our Supreme Being in the exchange of his I love you was that while loving him tenderly and responding to him, I love you, the Supreme Being gave him the first lesson on our divine will. And in instructing him, it was communicating life itself to him and the infused science of what was the meaning of our divine fiat. And every time he would say to us, I love you, our love was preparing for him other more beautiful lessons about our volition. He was like in ecstasy, and we were delighted in conversing with him, and we made rivers of love and perennial joys flow over him, so that human life was enclosed by us in our love and our will. Therefore, daughter of mine, there is no greater sorrow for us than to see our love in the creature broken and our will impeded, smothered, without its operating life, and like subject to the human volition. Hence, be attentive, and may love and my divine will be the principle of all things. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. This is a very famous passage that our Lord Jesus gives to Luisa Picaretta. And in this passage, as we can see, our Lord explains very well the beginning of the life of Adam. And the first words that he articulated, and the first lesson that our Lord, that God gave to Adam. And these first words that Adam articulated in response to all the gifts that he received, as the passage tells us, that he immediately saw God. It was the first thing that he saw. As soon as he opened his eyes, he says he saw his God before him and understood that he had formed him. That is very important because it says that it was as soon as he saw his God before him, he understood immediately because God is light. And in that vision of God, of seeing God Himself, that light dispels all darkness, and there was no darkness at all in the person of Adam as he was created in the state of grace. He was created immaculate. And there were no darkness to be dispelled. So the sound is very true when it says, in your light, we see light itself. Saint Thomas Aquinas is right when he says that heaven is lux vera, meaning true light. And once the mind receives that enlightenment, there is no way that the mind remains in darkness, in ignorance. So in Adam, there was no ignorance. He was pure, he was innocent, he was completely holy. What does it mean that he was completely set apart for God? And he was operating in that way. So as soon as he sees his God and Father, he loves him. The text tells us that as soon as he saw God, he understood. So no need for explanation. And he pronounced his first word, "I love you, my God and my Father, the author of my life." So there is a recognition of Adam recognizing God, being in the presence of God, and God being light. He immediately understood, and this response of Adam is, "I love you." Because in seeing God, he understood that he had created him out of love, not out of necessity, but out of love, and that everything he saw around also it was out of love for him. And this is one principle in God, that God creates out of love. Everything he does is out of love. It's not out of necessity, but out of love for us. For Adam, and in Adam, we are all represented. We are all present in Adam. So he created the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything that exists out of love for each one of us. So he waits for that correspondence, for that individual correspondence from the creature. The correspondence is, "I love you." And we see through the gospel, we see that in the parable of the lepers, the 10 lepers that were sick with leprosy, all of them, they got cured, but only one came back in an act of thanksgiving. That was the correspondence of that leper, realizing that he had been cleansed, that he had been healed. So immediately he was compelled to go back and to say thank you. That was the proper correspondence from that act that was done unto him. So this is the proper correspondence of Adam, recognizing and then loving him back. And as long as we keep living without recognizing that God has done everything out of love for us, that all creation has been done out of love for us, and that he gives us life out of love for us, we are going to remain as one of the 9 lepers that never came back. But if we realize that he's calling us back to go back to the point of origin, and that this parable of the 10 lepers is only a way of him telling us, "You need to come back. You need to come back. You need to recognize who I am. You need to recognize that everything has been done out of love for you, and that this gift operating in you, my will operating in you, is what is going to heal you completely. And is going to enable you to enjoy me and love me in a greater way and capacity in eternal life." So by coming and recognizing this gift and asking the Lord, "Increase this gift in me, Lord," thanking the Lord for giving way of living, this divine science, these writings given to us through the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, by thanking God for giving us this great gift and asking him to increase this gift in each one of us. And then loving God in everything we do, and especially learning to do that correspondence that he's asking us to do, as we see in the Book of Heaven. In the little guide that I put together, there is a section that is about the rounds, and there are some passages there that is very important to learn how to go around and do all those rounds to put our correspondence basically in everything that God has done out of love for us. Because in these later volumes that we see in Luisa Picaretta, what we see is that Luisa Picaretta is now doing rounds only, basically. Now that she understands the divine science, and now that she is being formed and formed by our Lord Jesus, instructed by our Lord Jesus, now she understands that she needs to be doing what Adam was supposed to do. That's why in the higher volumes, you will find that she will say, while I was walking, like in this passage that we just read, while I was walking around in the words of the fiat, the divine fiat. Other times she will say, and I was doing my rounds of creation, and I was doing the rounds of redemption. And this is what she is doing. She's going around, she's placing her I love you, her correspondence for everything that God has created. So we can say that Luisa Picaretta is that, is the 10 leper now. And we are called to be not the 9 lepers, but to be the 10 leper, that number 10, that the one that comes back and recognizes that this great act of love has been done unto him, and now recognizing who has done it. So our Lord Jesus finds pleasure in that. He finds the correspondence. So this is what he finds. God himself, the Holy Trinity, finds that satisfaction, that correspondence from the creatures when we come back and we recognize everything that God has done out of love for us. So that's one thing that we have to look at this passage. And the other thing also is that the Lord mentions here that the first lesson that he learned from his creator, the first word he learned to say, the first thought to have life in his mind, the first sentiment that he formed in his heart was that I love you. So love. That's the first lesson that Adam learns from God, to love. And no wonder why, if we look at the Ten Commandments, the first commandment is a commandment of love. You shall love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And in here, why? Because it says that when Adam saw everything, as soon as he opened his eyes, he was compelled to say, I love you. But in this passage, we see that it was not only his I love you. In this passage, it says that his whole being was basically gathering that action of thanksgiving. And in this act of thanksgiving, the Lord says it was so long that never ended, basically. It was a never-ending act. He didn't, because this is the way he was designed by God for him to function, basically, to always loving God with all his heart, his mind, with all his strength. That's why, again, we see that the first commandment is to love God. And even when Jesus is questioned about the Ten Commandments, he says, he basically gives two: to love God with all your heart also, and then to love your neighbor. Why? Because the first three commandments, they are those first three commandments, they are in relation how we are to relate with God. To love Him with all our heart, our mind, our strength. Then, not to use His name in vain, and to keep the day of the Lord holy. So those three first commandments, they are the commandments that the Lord gives us, that God gives us, so that we may learn how to relate with Him. And then the other seven, how we are to relate with each other. And when the Lord basically gives two commandments, when He's questioned, He didn't change the commandments because He's such a good teacher. He just sums the three in one and then the seven into one. But the commandment is to love. Why? Because God created us out of love. And the more we learn to love, the more we grow in the likeness of our Creator, our God, our Father. So that's why basically these writings is the call to the creature to love God also. And God is asking us to allow ourselves to be loved by Him. By surrendering our will to Him, we are allowing God to love us. Why? Because He's giving Himself to us. And to love is to desire the good for the others. The more you desire good for the others, the more you love the others. And God is the supreme good, so you cannot love higher than to love God with His own will and to will for others to have the will of God operating in them. So this love that Adam was given to God, it was a never-ending love, that it was so long, that it was a continuous. Why? Because every act that he was doing, it was a continuation of that first act of love. So he kept the symphony going, that I love you, that he first issued, that he first expressed, continue basically resounded in God as long as he remained in union with the will of God. So God was always hearing this harmonious, I love you. It was growing in every time. And this I love you allow him also to receive more and to understand, to grow in the knowledge and understanding of this infused science that he was receiving. Infused because as he gave love to God, God gave him love. He loved him back. So in that action of loving him back, he infused basically knowledge of himself, of who he was. And this is how he was communicating, sharing that divine life. As the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us in 374, that at the beginning it was a sharing, that God shares the divine life with Adam. And this is the way he was sharing that divine life, that with every single act that he was doing, he corresponded, God corresponded. But he redoubled and redoubled and redoubled. It was like a competition. It was a competition of love among Adam and God. And now there is a passage also in the rounds. I think it's in the 4 hour or in the 5th hour. I'm not sure right now, but it's one of those that our Lord expresses to Luisa Picaretta also that there was also a competition between Adam and Eve. They competed among themselves who will love God the most. With their own acts, they were competing to love God. So we, every time that we give our key, the key of our will to our Lord to operate in us, He's able to increase that love in us, to increase that capacity for us to love even more. This phrase of I give you the key of my will is not my phrase, it's from Saint Gertrude. This a phrase that Saint Gertrude came out to compose. And she will say, I give you the key of my will. That was her way to express that she didn't want to offend our Lord, but she wanted the divine will to operate in her. With Saint Gertrude, she didn't have all the knowledge that we have now. She didn't have all the understanding and explanation that we have through the writings with Luisa Picaretta. This is the difference. And that's why these writings are so important and for us to read and to meditate and to ponder and to pray with, asking the Lord to increase that knowledge in us, to help us understand and to allow us to love Him more. And even to give us even more time here on earth. Why? To love him more. To love him more. Not because we are attached to the world, because it will be a contradiction. Since all the spiritual writers, they teach us detachment from the world, to be detached. And even our Lord Jesus teaches Luisa Picaretta to be detached of the world. But when we ask the Lord to give us that gift of life, now that we understand how the divine will operates in us, is so that we can love God at every moment, so that one day we will be able to also enjoy that love in fullness, having the capacity, a greater capacity to understand the love of God, to possess the love of God, and to give Him that love back, to love Him with His own love, but now possessing that love in our souls and being able to see it. So that's why it's so important that we continue to do our acts united with the will of God and always asking the Lord to increase that gift in us, to help us understand this gift and to allow us to love him more and more and more and more, to give us that capacity that many of the saints, they desire, most of them, all of them, they desire to love God. And each one of them in their own way, they found a way to develop their own spiritual path. But now we know the royal path, the fastest track to go basically to the point of origin. And the point of origin is to operate with the will of God in us at every moment. And once we enter into that mode, into that union with our Lord, then our acts will also be as the acts of Adam. A never-ending acts that will always result and it will increase is like a symphony that is always playing, but all the instruments. And sometimes we do different acts, physical acts, natural acts that we are always doing because we are alive. Sometimes we praise God with our vocal prayers, sometimes all only with our meditation, sometimes only just by being, our heart just beeping, just breathing. But this is when we enter into this mode, our whole being is like a symphony. Now we praise God with our words, with our vocal prayers, with our work, with our physical acts, natural acts. So always giving thanks to God at every moment. So you can see it's a never-ending act of love. And this is what the Lord is calling us to live in. And then we see here that also our Lord tells us that as the Blessed Trinity heard Adam saying, "I love you," he says that the Blessed Trinity said to him, "I love you too," basically, corresponded. And in that correspondence, I understand, and we can understand through this passage also, that Adam was able to understand now more things because he was supposed to grow in the knowledge and understanding of who God is with every single act. His capacity increased, and that knowledge of the divine science also increase in him. So it infused, because by receiving this love, the love of God in himself, he understood who the Blessed Trinity, who God is. And basically, he was filled with that love. So what St. Paul tells us, that what happens in us in baptism is that in baptism, that the love of God is being put in our hearts by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in baptism. The love of God was put in the heart, in the soul of Adam, just by corresponding to that love. But remember, it was God who loved first. That's why it makes perfect sense what our Lord Jesus says in the gospel. It was not you who chose me, but it was me who chose you. So it's God who loves first. How do we see the love of God? That he's created everything out of love for the creature, and in an impetus of love, he creates men. We see the love of God there, visible, palpable. We can see the love of God in creation is visible, is palpable. We can see the sun, the moon, the stars. We can touch the water. We don't see the earth, we breathe, but we can feel it. We can see all creation. That's the love of God. And then we can see the love of God also, we can operate in us as we take a deep breath, as we feel our heart beeping. So that was the action basically of the Holy Spirit there. And it's very important, the action of the Holy Spirit in this work that God is doing at this time, because this is the time of the Holy Spirit. This is the time of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is active in the church. And the Paraclete is to guide us The Holy Spirit, the place of the Holy Spirit, or the work of the Holy Spirit is to take the place of our Lord Jesus and to do what our Lord Jesus was doing. So what was our Lord Jesus doing? He was guiding his disciples. He was teaching his disciples. He was healing. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Or his action in the church? His work is to teach us, to guide us, to heal us. And how does he heal us? Through the sacraments. That's why we call the sacrament of baptism a sacrament of healing, the same as the sacrament of reconciliation and anointing of the sick, the last rites. We call them sacraments of healing because they heal us from original sin, from mortal sin, from venial sin, and they prepare us. I want to go to the Catechism in 703. The Catechism says, the Word of God and His bread are at the origin of the being and life of every creature. So the Word of God and His bread, that we can associate that with the Holy Spirit, and we can associate the Word as with the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And then it gives us a clear description here what the work of the Holy Spirit is. It says, it belongs to the Holy Spirit to rule, sanctify, and animate creation. For he is God, substantial with the Father and the Son. Power over life pertains to the Spirit. For being God, he preserves creation in the Father through the Son. It's a beautiful passage. It tells us that this is the work of the Holy Spirit at this time, to rule, to sanctify. It sanctifies us through the sacraments. It guides us. It animates creation, meaning that creation continues its purpose. It continues its motion. As God wanted, because they remain fixed in the will of God. They remain in motion. And then what we say in the Creed every Sunday, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. In this passage, we encounter that it says, power over life, pertains to the Spirit. And we associate the Holy Spirit with the breath of God too. So we see that God the Father is giving life to Adam by infusing his breath in the nostrils of Adam. And by issuing his word, he creates. So the whole the three persons of the Blessed Trinity are present in creation, but it is God the Father who is directing everything. And now we understand that after the fall, it is God continues to direct everything, but now is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Word that became flesh, visible, that came to restore so that we may be able to learn how to love God and to recognize. So now this should give us also an idea of what we have to do as creatures. We have to thank not only God the Father for creating everything that exists, but also to give in particular thanks to the second person of the Blessed Trinity, for having become flesh and redeem us, restoring us back, or giving us the ability to open the door for us to go back to that state of grace, to that union with God. And now the Holy Spirit, that is the one in charge to lead us back to that completion, to that complete union. And now we understand that, yes, it is through the sacraments. And also, the sacraments, they prepare us, they heal us, for us to be able to receive this gift operating in us. So this really completes us. This gift really completes the creature, prepares the creature to be able to receive the love of God as God wants it, as God intended, so that we may fulfill in our time, in our lives, the call of the apostle that tells us pray without ceasing. So that this is basically what Adam was doing. He was praying without ceasing, that first act of loving that was never ending, a never ending act. He was doing that. He was praying without ceasing. So this is the way to pray without ceasing. So when God failed that correspondence, our Lord Jesus says that the Blessed Trinity also loved him back. So it was like a competition. You can imagine that the state of grace in which Adam was created, it was like a competition. He loved first the creature, and that enabled the creature to be able to love his God and Father back. And then by loving him back with his own love, that gave him the ability to receive even more and 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 more. And this is the way he was growing in the likeness of God. The Lord says, our love, our I love you, could not give a thing more holy, more beautiful, more powerful than our will operating in men. Since our will alone was able to form the life of the Creator in the creature, is the very life of God being formed in the creature. This is important for us. It was the very life of God operating in the creature. And this is what is being offered to us now. The sacraments, they prepare us. So that's why it's so important, the sacrament of baptism. Because in baptism, that presence is being restored in the creature. If we understand that original sin is the absence of God in the creature, now that presence is being restored, allowing the creature now to possess the very life of God in the soul. Of course, when we are baptized, those who of us that we were baptized as children, we were not aware of this life operating in us. But now that we understand, and now that we are aware that this is what happens, that it is the very life of God operating in the creature, now we should be competing among ourselves to love God more and more. We should be competing with God, loving God, wanting to love God, having that intention in us. In the first volume of the Book of Heaven, there is a passage that our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta during the time almost at the end of the time that she's been tentative for 3 years and a little bit more than 3 years. And our Lord tells Luisa Picarreta how to get rid of that distraction. And when she has all these distractions, all those thoughts, because at that time she had so many distractions. And even when she saw holy images, and when she saw pictures of our Lord and the Blessed Mother, she had horrible distractions and horrible thoughts, even towards those holy pictures. It was a distraction of the enemy. But our Lord teaches Luisa Picarreta, and something that he says to her is, as soon as these distractions they come to you, you should say, I don't want to offend you, Lord. I don't want to offend you. I give you my will. So this should be for us also something that we can learn. As soon as these distractions come, we may express our desire to remain in union with our Lord and to say, I don't want to offend you, Lord. I give you my will. I give you the key of my will. I don't want to offend you. So it says that this serves as a rebuke to the enemy. As a rebuke to the enemy. And this is how Luisa Picarreta gets rid of those distractions, and even the enemy goes away. Can you imagine if Adam had said this, or even Eve, when she was tempted? I don't want to offend you, my God and my fathers. Probably the enemy will have disappeared immediately. But now we know that our Lord has restored the broken friendship with God. Now we are friends again. And not only that, but we are sons and daughters through Christ. And God wants to restore that gift in us. He wants us to possess the gift that His Son possessed by nature. The gift that our Lord Jesus possessed by nature, He wants us now to possess by grace, by letting His will operate in us at every moment. And this is the way. So this is a great lesson that this is a great lesson and one of the most beautiful passages that I myself think that our Lord gives to Luisa Picarreta, because as you see, it expresses the first act of love that Adam did. The first act is an act of love towards God. And this is what is expressed in the Ten Commandments. And this is what our Lord Jesus again gives us, to love. And we are called to live out for all eternity, to live immersed in love and to understand that love. And we are called to develop here the capacity to understand in eternity all the love of God that is inexhaustible. That is inexhaustible. To spend eternal life loving in complete joy, in the presence of the true light, now also the Lord says that this sublime lesson that He gave to Adam, this exchange of love, was so tender He was so tender that in being loved by the creatures, God was compelled also to instruct him and to communicate him the knowledge of how to continue growing and operating in this way that he calls the infused science. The infused science, that something that he promises also to those who come to understand and to study this. Of course, this should not be the motive. This should not be our first desire to live in this way. Our desire to learn this way of living should be to love God. And we want to operate in this way and to want to know more about these writings because we want to love God. That's the main purpose. And that's true love, because we are seeking to love God for who He is, not for what He can give us. Sacred Scripture tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be given unto you. So this is the higher call, to love God for who He is, and knowing that everything else comes as a result of loving God. So can you imagine spending all eternity being infused in this light, being able to understand God, being able to be in the presence of that eternal happiness, eternal joy? So it is not something just it's not something that our Lord Jesus is giving us just randomly. This has been designed since the beginning. God has planned that the creature should live in this way from the beginning. So that's why it's so important for us not to lose the opportunity to enter into this way of in mode of operating, so that our whole life becomes a prayer. And whether you are a priest, a bishop, a pope, a lay person, whether you are a farmer, whether you do the most simple thing, this way of living is for everybody. And you can love God with the simple act of washing dishes. In the same way as you can love God with teaching, you can love God immersing the divine will with the simple act of praying a Hail Mary and honor God in the same way as if you pray the Liturgy of the Hours. Because the acts in the divine will, they have the same value, whether it is washing dishes or driving a car or being in the monastery, praying and spending your life before the Blessed Sacrament, of being a contemplative nun, of being in the field as a farmer, or cleaning toilets, because those acts, they have the same value. So we should not be discouraged if we have different vocations. We should not be comparing ourselves and wishing to be this and that. St. Paul says, those who are married, I advise you to stay married. Those who are single, I advise you to spend your time serving God in that way. Right? And he is not because marriage is bad, no, but his reason is that you will be able to serve God more attentively. So the point is that we should not be looking at each other, comparing ourselves, our vocations, but understanding that in this way of living, every single act, whether it is small, physical, spiritual, it has the same value and it loves God. It corresponds, it gives praise, glory, honor, and adoration, thanksgiving to God. And this is what we are called to enter, to embrace, to make part of our daily life. This is the original spiritual way of living. You can understand it like that. This is the original spirituality. This is the original way. So we have to be grateful and ask the Lord to increase that gift in us, that understanding, that knowledge in us also, and to have that intention that we want to love Him with every single act. And that we have that intention, that we have the intention that all our acts will give Him that glory. So at the end of our life, hopefully, we can say that it was one whole act of love. One whole act of loving expressed in different modalities, in different ways. One act of loving expressed in the act of breathing, palpitating, beating our hearts, walking, sleeping, eating. One act of love expressed in different ways. So let us ask our Lord Jesus to give us the grace to remain in that love always. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Seed of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.